A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 11. Landur. Din woke up in his own bed with only the faintest memory of getting there. It was dawn, or nearly dawn. Gray light had crept into Din's room like a thief and fallen over his eyes, nudging him towards wakefulness even as he groaned and tried to roll over to get away from it. His bed was warm, the sheets were clean and soft. Din stretched, still mostly asleep, and enjoyed the deep, languid ache in his shoulders and flanks. He spread his hands and flexed his toes. His skin tingled pleasantly with half a memory. Oh, Kark, Din thought, sitting up so fast his neck cracked. He remembered how he'd gotten to bed now. Fett had half carried him, had tugged a drowsing Din out of the lift and into bed like a drunkard or a child who'd crept out of their room. Embarrassment jolted through Din and chased away his languor so fast his head spun. Everything that had happened last night hit him at the same time. Fett's nails digging half-moons into his sides, sensation budding and building. That hadn't been too shameful. That had been what Din and Fett had both wanted, after all. Pain and maybe a little bit of pleasure, or at least a little bit of purpose. But the rest, Din's cock hardening, rutting against Fett's thigh, coming in his own pants like a raw, undisciplined fool. Din put his head in his hands, knuckles digging into his temples. I can't believe I did that. Din had never done anything like that. He'd gotten off before, of course. When he'd been younger, there hadn't been much else to do in the covert besides train and explore each other's bodies. And sometimes, in hyperspace, it had felt like maintenance, almost. Like polishing his armor or cleaning his weapons. Din's body was a tool, same as anything else, and like any tool, it needed its occasional tune-ups. But Din had never bothered to try and chase his own pleasure with someone outside of the tribe. He'd never shown someone else's face while he'd come. I'm never going to be able to look him in the eye again, Din thought. He screwed his eyes shut. Whatever peace he'd found last night was long gone. Tension was beginning to make itself known in his shoulders, the base of his skull. Din doubted that this was the first time Fett had bumped Beskar with anyone. Fett was confident, competent. He probably had been with any number of partners, Mandalorian or not. Fett didn't seem hung up by the difference between Mandalorians and Arwetise either. Fennec was Fett's friend and close companion, even though she'd never wear Beskar. A year ago, I wouldn't have lain with anyone outside the tribe. Fett was still Mandalorian enough that Din was able to rein his thoughts in before they spiraled too far out of his control. But if Fett hadn't been Mandalorian... Anxiety clawed at the bottom of Din's ribs. He had never been so bare as he'd been last night, falling apart under Fett's hands, against Fett's broad thigh. It wasn't that Din hadn't wanted it. He'd wanted it so badly he'd let go of his fear for the first time in a long time. He'd wanted it so much he could still feel desire kindled in his chest, bright and keen, despite the shame that had crept in with the dawn. But what if I ruined this? What if Din had shown Fett too much, had pushed Fett farther than Fett had wanted to go? Fett had seen the cracks in Din now, the places where Din was rusted through. What if he didn't think Din was strong enough to be Fett's ally? Stars help me, Din thought, a new sense of unease breaking out down his spine. What if Fett wants to talk about it? Din didn't remember if he and Fett had talked after. Sensations he could remember. Cool Bacta, calloused hands, desert breeze, and Fett's voice rumbling like far-off thunder. But if they'd talked at all, Din couldn't say. Din kept his head in his hands for another few minutes, prickling all over with desperate unease. Fett would want to talk. He seemed very keen on that, the talking. Din had never talked with anyone as much as he'd talked with Fett, at least not as an adult. Din was used to being the silent party, the quiet one. He'd never been outgoing and talkative, not in the way someone like Cobb Vanth was. Fett wasn't chatty by any means, but he was more comfortable talking and haggling than Din was, could make himself known and understood without tripping over his words or getting caught up, confused. I could run for it, Din thought, mostly to settle his own nerves. He wouldn't actually run for it. He had nowhere else to go but back to the light cruiser. He doubted that the Jedi would want him hanging around the Academy full-time. No, Din's place, at least for now, was here on Tatooine, which meant that he would have to talk to Fett, and that it would be excruciatingly embarrassing, but as far as Din knew, shame had never killed a Mandalorian. I'll just have to think of what to say, Din thought. How to explain, so Fett knows that I'm not weak. That would be easier thought about than actually done. Din wouldn't even know where to start. Hey, sorry, I don't have any discipline and came in my clothes. Sorry I put you in that position to begin with. Din groaned to himself. Remember this, he thought, forcing himself to pick his head up and open his eyes. The light in his room was shifting from gray to thin, pale pink. The suns were clearing the horizon. Remember this next time, so you don't do it again. Din could control himself. He'd controlled himself for nearly 30 years. This, his reaction, had been because it was all so new, that was all. Din had never let someone hurt him like he let Fett hurt him before. His body was just confused. I'll be better next time. Din was a quick learner. He'd get his body's reactions under control sooner or later. Matter decided, Din saw no point in hiding in his room like a misbehaving trainee. He made himself get up and get clean. Fett had, apparently, wiped the worst of the sweat off Din's neck and brow last night, but had mercifully left the rest of Din untouched, and then get dressed. If he stared at the angry red nail marks dug into his flanks in the mirror before he tugged his undershirt on over his head, well, that was Din's business. He spent a few minutes in the sonic, which did nothing for his headache, then dressed efficiently, underclothes Kuta and Beskar going on one after the other in their order. Din thought of Vanth. Hiding never helped a Duneworm. He couldn't help but slink out of his room and the turbo lift, though, checking around corners to make sure he wouldn't be surprised by Fett before it was prepared. As he made his way downstairs into the larger palace, Din tried to think of what to say. What he could say, how he could explain. He had time, he knew. Fett wouldn't talk about it in morning court, he'd sworn that he wouldn't. But Din kept getting sidetracked. Trying to think of words to explain what had happened made him remember how he'd felt. Raw and desperate. Cared for. Safe. That, especially, was what kept tripping Din up. He'd felt safe with Fett. Din wouldn't have let himself go as much as he had otherwise. Pleasure was all well and good, but he knew better than to let his cock run away with him. Mandalorians who trusted too well or who didn't pay enough attention ended up dead. But Fett wasn't going to kill me. Din had known that. Had trusted that Fett's indulgence would hold, even as Din hurtled over the yawning black hole of his own pleasure. The realization was so enormous, Din didn't have any room for it in with the rest of his jumbled thoughts. He set it aside. Later, he told himself. I can deal with it later. He'd beaten most of the rest of the palace into the throne room. Nora was there, setting up the bar for the morning. Din was starting to wonder if Nora ever slept, since she always seemed to be working. And so was the Blackford Wookiee, Kasik. A wide stripe of fur was missing from his side. The silver protocol droid was charging in a corner, its eyes dim, and Fennec was already awake, too, leaning over the bar to fish out a glass of blue milk, a plate of Yazda in front of her. Din smiled. Fennec caught the glare of the sun off his armor and turned around. She looked him up and down. "You're up early," she said. She spoke like she could see the red finger marks on Din's belly underneath his ribs. He ignored her tone. "Maybe I didn't want to let you get into a firefight without me this time," he said lightly. Fennec snorted. "Wouldn't dream of it," she said. How are you? Good trip, wherever you were? Din thought of Grogu, his wide smile, the Jedi kids laughing. He nodded. Pretty good, he said. You didn't bring Boba back to the palace, Fennec said lightly. Din winced. She shot him a knowing look. Don't worry about it. He told me what happened. It's pretty hard to get him to follow along with anything most days. Are you the one running security here? Din asked. He'd assumed, but he supposed that if he was going to stick around, he should probably get to know the palace's inner workings anyway. She nodded. She gestured at an open stool beside her, then rapped the bar. Nora disappeared underneath it for a moment and came back up with another plate of Yazda, rich and thick. Din recognized the order for what it was. Fennec wanted to bring Din up to speed. He sat beside Fennec and accepted the plate, struggling with himself for a few seconds, then undid the seal on his helmet and pulled it off roughly before he could reconsider. Fennec had already seen his face. Nora and Kasik hadn't, but Din's face had now been seen by enough of the galaxy that he was starting to lose track. Nora didn't say anything, or treat Din like he'd just broken the creed again. Fennec didn't either. Her expression eased a little, and she nudged Din's plate of porridge closer to his hand, but that was it. Din was grateful. He wasn't hungry, pulse pounding behind his temples, but he ate a little anyway. Yes, I'm in charge of security, Fennec said after a few minutes. Din felt her eyes on the edge of his jaw and ignored it, focusing his own gaze on his plate. For now, anyway. Soon the outfit'll be too big for just me, and I'll pass most of it off to someone else. A2 and Zero have seniority. They were in Jabba's crew the same time Boba and I were, but I'll keep responsibility for Boba's personal security, whether he likes it or not. Din smiled a little, the corner of his mouth turning up before he could stop himself. He's not a fan of bodyguards, then. No, Fennec said sourly. Are all bounty hunters this independent? I can hardly get him to tell me when he's coming and going. Din shrugged. Bounty hunting's a pretty solitary profession, he said. There were crews out there that ran hunts together. Din had even joined a crew a time or two, though none had ended as badly as that last job with Shean Mayfield and the others. There were a lot of benefits to teaming up sometimes. But in a crew, a bounty had to be split among the crew members. A solitary hunter kept it all. Fennec snorted again. So's my line of work, she said. I can at least use a comm to check in every once in a while. Din made a non-committal noise in the back of his throat, taking another bite of Yazda to avoid having to pitch in with another opinion. Fennec let him get away with it, polishing off her own plate and finishing off her glass of milk, which sort of charmed Din. He'd expected Fennec to be the spatchka for first, second, and last meal type. You've got about 5 minutes before the court starts filling up, Fennec advised Din, knocking into his shoulder with her own. Just in case you want to get your bucket back on. Din did want to get his helmet back on. The court had grown in size every time Din had seen it. He nodded and ate as much of his porridge as he could, grateful that Yazda was sweet enough to cover the thick texture. He finished the food and a glass of water before the rest of the court could show up, though only just. He'd just barely re-engaged the seal of his helmet when Fett swept into the throne room, fully armored, and waved a hand at Kasik. The Wookiee stood and made his way up the stairs. A moment later, Din heard chatter filtering down them. The palace doors were open, then. The day was about to start. Fett took a seat on his throne, throwing a leg over one of the arms carelessly, and surveyed the throne room. His eyes were hidden behind his visor. His gaze didn't stop at Din, but it didn't skip over Din either. Fett took in Din the same as he took in Nora and Kasik, the protocol droid booting up in the corner, the visitors slowly trickling in down the steps. A few guards Din recognized took up posts at many of the other entrances and exits into the throne room, their ranks bolstered by some beings Din didn't recognize. A band came down the steps and took up a position in the corner of the room. Soft music started to play. Din wasn't about to spend the whole morning sitting at the bar like a lump, so he stood up, stretched, and made his way over to the stairs, where he leaned against the wall facing the throne. Anyone who wants to strike at you has to get past me, Din tried to say with his body, the position of his hands folded loosely over his waist, his blaster on one hip. The darksaber was hidden by his cloak on the opposite hip. Din wanted its weight, familiar and reassuring now after carrying it for several weeks, but he wasn't ready to wear it openly yet. Din had practiced a bit with the darksaber on Yavin, but he probably wasn't good enough with it yet to start waving it around Fett's court. Fett finally looked at Din, his gaze stopping as it made another sweep over the throne room. Din looked back. His stomach dropped, shame flushing up his neck, but this time Din was in armor. Fett couldn't see. Fett inclined his head slowly, and then court began, and Din didn't have time to parse Fett's behavior any further. He was too busy watching supplicants come and go, members of Fett's operation appearing to report and disappearing to go back to work. Fett saw 15 or 20 beings in the first 2 hours alone. Most were beings paying him protection money, which Fennec collected on Fett's behalf, but one was a scout from Mos Pelgo reporting in. Fett's operation was getting off the ground there, apparently, and Mos Pelgo was providing safe passage for spice and weapons between the palace and Bestine. And another was a Tusken from the spotted Anuba. The entire court was silent as the Tusken reported in. Din could track the conversation easily enough. Ashek's tribe did have business with Fett regarding the Northern Dune Sea. The spotted Anuba roamed all over the desert, but their home territory was somewhere in the south. They had water there, wells and aquifers, and even what sounded like an oasis if Din was reading the raider's hands right. Ashek is willing to grant Fett safe passage through spotted Anuba lands if Fett helps him protect the water, Din realized. He whistled to himself, the sound too low to be picked up by his vocoder. Spotted Anuba's plight must have been worse than Ashek wanted to admit if he had so few warriors he couldn't even protect his water. It's not a bad deal, Din thought to himself, though he was concerned Fett would be stretching himself too thin. Fett had already agreed to protect Mos Pelgo. Did he have enough bodies to protect the Spotted Anuba, too? The Spotted Anuba are all warriors. Their reputation protected them from most attempts to settle on their lands. But if the fighting men have mostly been wiped out... Din resolved to pay Mos Pelgo a visit in the next few days. He could check in on Vanth, assure him that Pyrrha Windrunner and her fellow escapees had at least made it to Baas Pity safely, and also talk with the warriors of the Sun Rock to see what they'd heard on the winds about the spotted Anuba. After the warrior gave his report, the supplicant started in. Jabba hadn't been interested much in the local governance, or lack thereof, on Tatooine. He hadn't wanted to be bothered by petty problems like water rights or public services. Jabba hadn't even wanted to resolve disputes between his own people. If two hunters had come to him to decide who got to keep a bounty, Jabba had been as likely to kill them both as he'd been to give them a bounty each. Fett, though, took everyone. He listened to a Twi'lek complain about a lack of clean water in Mos Eisley's quarter and promised to send an engineer to fix it. He heard a moisture farmer declare that a neighbor had stolen his dewback and agreed to put a small bounty out on the neighbor. He even mediated between some Jawas and some settlers, each who claimed they'd been cheated by the other. Din was not surprised, exactly, by Fett's patience with everyone who came before him, but he hadn't been expecting it either. Fett had been patient with Din himself, but he took the same approach with everyone. He was measured, inscrutable, hard but fair. He heard everyone's complaints and questions. Fett didn't roll over, either. When a smug Dug tried to haggle for a higher fee to move weapons between Tatooine and Malastare, Fett warned him against it. When the Dug pushed again, Fett took the contract away and offered it to a female Zabrak, who was all too happy to accept. When a human settler didn't like Fett siding with some Tuskens over a property dispute and pulled a blaster to register his complaints, Fett broke the man's arm. But brief episodes of violence and inflexibility aside, Fett was fair. Forthright, but fair. An allure, Din thought, not for the first time. He didn't envy Fett the responsibility of minding a criminal empire, but Fett was at least up to the task. Throughout it all, Din kept an eye on the growing crowd. Despite the early hour, music and drink flowed. Nura got busy. Another Twi'lek, this one orange-skinned, with intricate stripes tattooed across her leku, joined her and managed the bar. Din vaguely recognized her. She looked a lot like the Twi'lek who'd come in a few weeks ago asking Fett for help, only younger. The missing daughter? Din wondered. Other beings came and went, but most came to stay and watch, even if their requests were turned down or their business finished. Din tracked bodies, tracked hands and blasters and positions. Fennec had taken up her usual spot, leaning against the throne, her glower strong enough to keep anyone from getting too close, which meant that Din was responsible for identifying any potential threats and pointing them out to her. Din did his best. The mood of the court was light enough. If more assassins had come while Din had been away, they hadn't made much of a mark on the throne room. Keeping an eye on everything settled Din. He couldn't dwell on his lingering embarrassment if he was too busy tracking the throne room's occupants. Some beings thought that guard duty was boring. Din had been a guard in the covert for most of his youth before he'd won the right to hunt. He was practiced enough at it that he wasn't really bothered. By the time the suns reached their height above the palace, the throne room was so crowded that the noise and clamor was almost disorienting. Fortunately, Fett was nearly done holding court. He heard his last petitioners, then turned to talk with Fennec, likely assigning tasks for the day. Din waited where he was. If the pattern from their last interactions held, Fett would want to talk after court was over. "And I'm fine with that," Din told himself, fighting down the bolt of unease that reared through him. He'd figure out something to say. Something to patch over Din's mistakes last night. "It will be fine." True to the pattern, once Fett had wrapped up his business with Fennec, he stood and made his way across the throne room, the crowd shifting gracefully out of his way. Din stayed where he was, braced against the wall. "Fennec said you were down here before dawn broke," Fett said gruffly. "Early day?" Din shrugged. "Most of my days are early," he said. Fett hummed, the sound robbed of its usual warmth by the vocoder. Din resisted the urge to shift. The tiny cuts across his sides and his belly stung. "So," Fett said, "down here or upstairs?" The thought of being in Fett's rooms again was overwhelming. Din shied away from it. "Down here," he said, grateful that Fett had given him the choice. Fett only nodded. "Come on then," he said. He led the way across the throne room again. Din followed. They went down a hall and into a circular, simple room that had nothing in it but a table and a few chairs. The table was nice, at least, polished wood and lacking any obvious bloodstains. Fett looked at Din, his expression unreadable behind the helmet. Neither of them sat. It was Fett who softened first. He sighed, rigid posture loosening some, and released the seal on his helmet. He shut the door but didn't lock it. The gesture was obvious. Their conversation would be private, but Din could leave if he wanted. Din stared at the door for a moment, bothered and not sure why. Fett took off his helmet and set it pointedly on the table. Din, reluctant, did the same. Now that their faces were bare to each other, Din could see the intense expression in Fett's eyes, the downward pull of his mouth. Din shrank a little. "How are you?" Fett asked quietly. Din blinked. "How am I?" "You were pretty far under last night," said Fett. "Under? Under what?" "I'm fine." If Din's words were more forceful than they needed to be, well, Din would apologize for that too. "You didn't..." "I'm sorry," he said. Fett's frown deepened. "It was my fault," Din added hurriedly, wishing that he had more words in his head to express how he felt. Fett had apologized to Din in Mandalorian when he'd realized how he'd insulted Din by trying to overpay him. Din reached for the memory. "Niseta," Din said, trying to shape the words correctly. He made himself look Fett in the eye. Fett's expression had cracked open, wondering and confused. Din hid a tiny frown of his own. Had he mangled the words, said the wrong thing? He opened his mouth again to apologize, but Fett held up a hand to stop him. "You have," Fett said slowly, "nothing to apologize for." That made Din draw up short. "What? Of course I do. I pushed you. I..." "That's enough," said Fett. His tone was quiet, even gentle, but Beskar moved beneath his words. Din closed his mouth. "I should be apologizing," said Fett gravely. You didn't. You have nothing to apologize for. What do you have to apologize for? Din asked, confused now. He didn't like the feeling. He'd already been out of his depth before Fat had led him into this room, and now Din felt like he'd been thrown even further, knocked off course. You didn't... You took care of me. You let me... Din broke off, shaking his head. A blush was rising in his throat, a lump of shame sitting at the bottom of his tongue like a stone. Fett's brow furrowed. I was the one who let you, Fett said, very slowly. We hadn't negotiated it. I could have redirected, could have... Irritation flashed through Din, cutting some of his embarrassment. His mouth tightened before he could stop himself. Let me, he thought. His heart sank. What he'd been afraid of had come true. Fett had seen too deeply into Din's heart, had seen through to the rusted core of him, and now he knew that Din was weak. He thought Din a child in need of minding, an animal in need of tending to. Fett paused. That, he said, lifting his chin to gesture at Din's face. What is that? You've been on edge since we came in here. It's nothing, Din muttered. Fett's gaze sharpened. When we started this, he said, you agreed to some rules, didn't you? Kirk. Din nodded. He had. What was the fourth? Honesty, said Din, irritation digging in and growing teeth. He wasn't stupid. He could remember Fett's rules. He'd lost discipline, shamed himself, but Din could. He could prove to Fett that he wasn't too weak, that he could control himself. It could. So, be honest, said Fett. What are you trying to hide from me? I'm not hiding, Din said, affronted. Fett looked at Din's helmet pointedly. You're not wearing your boisha, he said. Your face is easier to read than your Beskar. You're upset about something. You need to leave? Take a second? Door's unlocked. Din stared at the doorway. His skin prickled. You keep doing that, he said, trying to turn his own discomfort aside. He looked at Fett. What, leaving the door open? Giving me a way out. Fett shrugged, tone light. I've been tackled by a man in armor a few times before, he said. I'm getting too old to shake it off like I used to. And now you're avoiding the question. So are you, said Fett. He folded his arms across his chest. We agreed to honesty. So, tell me, honestly, what's bothering you? I'm not fragile, Din finally spat, frustration spilling over. I'm not going to fall to pieces just because you touched me. I lost control last night. I'm sorry, it won't happen again. If anything, the memory of this conversation, the discomfort, the shame, ought to kill any interest Din had in bumping Beskar until he was a gray, grizzled elder. Din met Fett's eyes again, then looked away, hurt licking over his ribs. Ah, said Fett quietly. Okay. My turn, then. You didn't lose control, Jaren. Din stared at the corner of Fett's scarred jaw. Of course I did, he said. But Fett shook his head. No, he said. You gave control to me. You let me decide what you felt. Pain and pleasure. I let what happened last night happen. I could have chosen to redirect you. There's plenty that can be done with arousal. I should have redirected. The debt is mine. I didn't realize you would be this uncomfortable with sex. I'm not, Din started hotly, then had to slow down, remembering the rules he'd agreed to. He had sworn not to lie to Fett. It's not, he began, slower this time. That I'm uncomfortable with sex. Really? Fett raised an eyebrow. Because you're having a hard time even saying it. Din blushed dully. He wanted to slam his helmet back on, but knew Fett wouldn't let him get away with it. Let's say you're not uncomfortable then, Fett said. Let's say that what's bothering you isn't what happened last night. Not saying that I believe that all the way, he added when Din opened his mouth to speak again. but maybe I've made some assumptions last night and today. Okay, so if it's not the sex that bothers you, what does? What's got you riled like a rancor that hasn't been fed in a week? Din thought about it for a moment, struggling with both the embarrassment and irritation prickling in his chest. Each demanded his attention. He decided to deal with the irritation first. If he was lucky, Fett would be happy talking that out and would leave Din's shame alone. It feels like you're wrapping me up like I'm made of glass. The gentle handling, the extra care, even wrapping Din up in well-made clothes. All of it spoke of a kind of treatment Din had never experienced, had only seen in clients and marks who had, at long last, gotten what they wanted. Like I'm a prize. He jerked his own chin towards the door that Fett had deliberately left unlocked. Or like I'm an animal you're afraid is going to run for it. Fett winced. Ah, he said. Din scowled. Maybe it was irrational on Din's part. Maybe he was suspicious and jaded and too old to be playing these kind of games. But Din wasn't fragile. He was Dharmanda, yes, but he hadn't broken the creed because he couldn't handle it, because he wasn't strong enough to measure up. Din had broken his creed to save the kid. He'd still broken it, and broken himself in the process. But it wasn't that Din had become a coward or a weakling or even a fool. He'd tried to protect the child. The creed itself didn't care what Din's reasons had been, but it mattered to Din. Neparavutakisit, Fett said. The syllables rose and spiked. Mandalorian, Din thought. It means, I'm sorry, Fett explained. His expression had shifted again, and Din didn't know how to read it. Literally, I eat my insult. I've insulted you again. I'm sorry. It's not... I don't think you meant to, Din said, softening despite himself. He scratched his jaw for want of something to do with his hands. You think that I think you're weak. Landur, fragile. Din shrugged stiffly with one shoulder. I don't think you're weak, Jaren, Fett said. His voice was so serious, Din couldn't help but look up and meet his eyes. He felt flayed again, stripped bare. Relief kindled in Din's chest. Din had promised Fett honesty, but Fett had promised Din the same. He had promised not to lie, not to tease or mock. Something inside of Din began to uncoil, to relax, like a crate dragon releasing its grip on its pearl. He blew out a breath. Then why? He gestured at the door, but broadly meant any of it. Why the care? Why the caution? Why the clothes he'd left for Din and the heaps of Beskar he kept trying to foist off? Would you believe me if I said that it's part of my job as the one who takes control? Said Fett, tilting his head to the side. Din frowned. What do you mean? What does your Alor do for your tribe? Protects us, said Din promptly. Because that, at least, was obvious, was a question he had an answer for. Armors us, teaches the foundlings, makes sure we have enough to eat, that the covert is safe. When one of us fell, she made sure the rites were performed to lay the warrior to rest. She takes care of you, Fett said. Oh. Din couldn't help it. He blushed again, this time all the way down to his chest, not that Fett could see. But you're not my allure. Din murmured. I can still be hospitable, can't I? Fett gave Din a little smile, pleased that Din had figured it out. We're not clan, but you're my guest here. You're under my protection. I should make sure you're comfortable, safe, taken care of. Does it bother you that much? Yes, Din admitted, the honesty burning the back of his mouth. But I... made some assumptions, too, I think. Din had already thought of Fett as an Alor. He just hadn't considered that Fett might feel like Din was a Verd, a soldier under his care. That changed things. It was an Alor's duty to provide for the warriors, to feed them and guide them, to look after them when they were injured. Din cleared his throat, more embarrassed. You don't need to apologize, he finally said. It's not that I didn't like it last night. Fett's eyebrows went up again, and his eyes darkened. Didn't mind it, did you? No, Din allowed. His fingertips tingled. His skin was beginning to warm. I didn't mind it. I put a burden on you, he tried to explain. We'd agreed to, well, I'd agreed to give you control, and then I got hard in my pants and rutted against you like an Anuba in season, Din couldn't say. Let me take control, the way I see it, Fett reasoned. He rolled his shoulders. It's not uncommon, you know. Having a physical reaction to pain, getting off on it. Plenty of beings like it. I like it. You do? But you wouldn't let me. Din trailed off, confused again. Last night wasn't about me, said Fett, shaking off Din's concern. I can get myself off without too much trouble. Last night was about you, about what you needed. Din didn't understand, but he nodded anyway. Fett was getting pretty good at reading Din, though. He frowned again. So, said Fett, about those rules we set up the first time. Din's heart sank, trepidation built. He said nothing. I think we need to revisit, Fett said. He looked at Din. I don't know a lot about you, Jaren. That's fine. Your business is your business. But if you want this to continue, he gestured between himself and Din, and Din's heart lifted in his ribs. Fett's not ending this, he thought, relief flooding his chest. He's not throwing me out or telling me to leave. I'd like to, I don't know, get a better idea of where you come from, what you were taught about, things like this. Things like this? Fett rolled his eyes. Sex, mostly, he said. You grew up with a clan, yeah? A tribe, said Din. So, tell me a bit about it, Fett encouraged. Are you supposed to be chased? Are you allowed to pair with someone you're interested in? We were encouraged to keep it inside the tribe, Din explained softly. His cheeks burned faintly. It's safer that way. And if you're bumping Beskar with someone inside the tribe, they know what to expect, what's allowed. What is allowed? Fett asked. Din looked at him askance. Fett spread his hands. I didn't grow up with a tribe or a clan, he said. I have no idea what yours was like. I made some assumptions, but we've seen how that worked out. So, tell me. Help me understand. Does your tribe allow warriors to marry? Din nodded. Yes, if you find a partner who wants the same. Marriage was fairly common among the network of coverts. It was a good way to move warriors around, to make sure all the tribes had strong fighters, young blood. What about sex? Din flushed again and cursed himself. He was a grown man. He'd been in cantinas and brothels all over the galaxy, had seen more couplings than he'd ever wanted to see. It's because it's Fett, he thought. It was only because Fett had seen more of Din than any other living thing now that he'd pinned Din's hips down while Din chased his own pleasure. Are you asking about me specifically? Din said carefully. Or my tribe in general? Fett shrugged. Both? Din resisted the urge to groan. Fett waited, implacable. We have sex, Din finally said, deciding just to go for it, to force the words out before embarrassment could trap them in Din's throat. It's not forbidden. Are there rules around it? Who you can or can't roll around with? Din shook his head. No, he said. We could be with whoever we wanted, so long as they were willing to. Most of us kept it within the tribe, but not everyone did. There had been a few of the older warriors who'd almost seemed to prefer taking partners outside the covert. Fett nodded, thoughtfully, head tilted in consideration. And your creed didn't get in the way? Not within the tribe, said Dan. If it did outside of the covert, I never... well... Ah, said Fett, tone sly. Yeah, I picked up on that. Not too adventurous, were you? Dan scowled at him. We weren't encouraged to be, he said. We were allowed, but chasing your pleasure in someone else's body is like finding it at the bottom of the bottle or the end of a death stick. It can be, Fett said. I've known plenty who've spent too much time chasing tail and not enough watching their own backs. Bib Fortuna was one. Jabba, too. Din shifted. He wished, abruptly, that he was on his knees. The rules there were familiar now, and safe enough. So you haven't been with someone outside your tribe? Din shook his head, glad Fett understood. Ever get any offers? Yes, Din admitted. He'd gotten plenty of offers. Some had been honest and sincere, and some hadn't. Din had never bothered to accept either way. Never took any?
No.
Why? Din pulled up short, surprised. His brow furrowed. Fett was watching him with that same steady patience, dark eyes keen. He was seeing too much, as per usual. Why didn't you ever take any offers? Fett pressed. Din shifted, uncomfortable. You have someone in your tribe you were sweet on?
No, Din said.
He thought of Paz and Annika with a pang. Why not? From anyone else, the words would have sounded mocking, teasing. Why couldn't Din find a partner, among the covert or outside it? But this was Fett, and Din had trusted him this far. Fett had promised not to mock or tease.
I was Beroya, Din said, slowly. I was always gone, always moving. It was...
Everyone else found their pairs, Din tried to explain. And our tribe thinned out. We lost many of my covert to the Empire over the years, lost more to raiders later on. And I was always trying to, I don't know, be better, learn more. I won the right to hunt for my tribe and threw myself into it. By the time I thought about finding a partner, there was no one left that I cared for.
You were alone, Fett realized.
His tone was so careful that Din wanted to pull his shoulders up, wanted to hide, wanted to punch Fett in the mouth.
I was Beroya, Din repeated.
It's not a profession designed for a family. Most hunters in the tribe don't marry or pair. That I even took the kid in was unusual. A hunter hunts. The rest of the tribe raises the foundlings, brings up the next generation.
Bounty hunting can be lonely, Fett agreed. My father never married either.
But he'd still stop and have his blaster polished. You never did?
His blaster polished? Din muttered, disbelieving.
He couldn't tell if Fett was teasing him or not. Fett's dark eyes were dancing, but that could have just been because he liked watching Din shift and stumble his way through this conversation.
His soldier inspected? Fett offered. Din groaned. His spanner cranked? Hyperdrive recalibrated? His...
Din pitched his helmet at Fett as hard as he could manage. Fett caught it, laughing.
You're worse than a Verd, Din told him, irritated.
Fett grinned. I grew up with soldiers, he said. On Kamino. A million men who'd never so much as laid eyes on a woman, but they had more names for rubbing one out than Tatooine has grains of sand.
I believe that, Din grumbled, thinking of Paz and the other warriors his age.
They'd all grown up in the same exact place, underground, moving from covert to covert. But somehow, while Din hadn't been paying attention, they'd all started to roll around with each other in dark corners. Some of the terms they'd come up with had made the Allure toss them all into a river once. Din had forgotten about that until just now.
So you didn't ever spend a night with someone else out on a job? Fett asked. No whores, even.
Din shook his head. When I was younger, before I was our tribe's hunter, I'd go with a couple others in my tribe, he said. Paz's big hands, Annika's unerring ability to find Din's most sensitive places.
They used to spend whole evenings lying around, touching each other. But that hadn't been like it had been with Fett. That had been mostly lazy companionship, exploration. It hadn't meant anything. But outside the tribe, no. It's hard to find others who understand. Omera would have taken Din into her bed on Sorgon. She'd dropped enough hints over the months Din had spent there. But while Din had liked her well enough, she'd been sweet and steady, strong as Beskar underneath her gentle nature. Omera wouldn't have wanted a few nights of fumbling around. She would have wanted Din to stay. Now that Din was Darmanda, he could go back to Sorgon, he supposed. Spend his days making spatchka and farming krill, pacing in the forest like a vine tiger when the restlessness came over him. But that wasn't the kind of life Din wanted, then or now, so he'd turned Omera down gently and left. He didn't know what Fett wanted. Fett knew Din. Fett knew that Din would never be able to settle, to stay at the palace for weeks and months and years on end. He knew that Din would come back for as long as Fett would let him, but staying? Din's mind shied away from the enormity of the thought. Din shrugged again, exposed despite the armor. Fett, though, nodded. "It's hard," he said quietly. He tapped his own chest, Beskar ringing faintly. "To find someone who understands what this means, even among other Mandalorians." "We all knew what Beskar meant," Din said, just as quietly. "Good armor was life, was surviving the blaster bolt that would inevitably come flying through the dark. Bad armor meant cuts and scrapes and broken bones, a hole in the heart or the head." Fett inclined his head, conceding the point. "We grew up differently," he agreed. "After my father died, I mostly raised myself, or let a few other hunters do it. None of them were Mandalorian. They didn't know what my armor meant. They couldn't." "He understands." Din had met dozens, hundreds, who hadn't understood why Din wouldn't take his helmet off, why he wouldn't bare his body, why he wouldn't unbend, give in, relax his rules. Fett, even though he showed his own face without any issue, understood what it meant to keep a creed. It was different than what Din's creed had been, but it informed every part of Fett's life. Din could see it in him. Honor and strength, courage and purpose. "So this, all of it, even more than the pain, than surrendering control, is pretty new for you," said Fett. Din nodded. "And just to be clear," Fett pressed, eyes serious again, "what happened last night? You're okay? You didn't go too far, do something you didn't want to do?"
"I'm okay," Din said. He shifted. "I haven't done anything like that with someone else," he said. "But it wasn't bad. If I'd wanted to stop, I would have said something. Said Gev."
Fett relaxed. He was relieved, too. "He was worried that he'd hurt me," Din realized, some context snapping into place. Fett had been so gentle because he'd been worried that he'd pushed Din farther than Din had wanted to go, that he'd done Din more damage than he'd set out to.
"I'm fine," Din repeated, stronger. A blush was building up his neck again, but he made himself say it.
I liked it. I've never tried it before, but I liked it."
Fett tilted his head.
"Why?"
Din thought for a moment, trying to choose his words.
"I knew you wouldn't hurt me," Din finally said. Not seriously, anyway. I trusted you."
Fett smiled at that, and it was like the sun's rising. Din's chest loosened.
"All right, then," said Fett, gruff again now that he'd shown Din so much of himself in return. He rubbed the back of his head. "Next time, if you want there to be a next time, we're gonna talk about what happens in advance," he warned Din.
Din winced, already embarrassed, but nodded. That sounded good. Safe.
"Okay," he said warily. Does it have to be sex?"
"What, the scene?" Din didn't know if that was what it was called, those nights in Fett's rooms, learning about pain, but he nodded.
"Doesn't have to be," Fett said easily.
"Not everybody wants that. Even the ones who do don't necessarily want it all the time. We can go that way if you want. Plenty do, but like I said, if you don't want to, I can redirect."
Din couldn't even think about arousal now, about Fett's broad hands and dark eyes. He just nodded, chewing the inside of his cheek a little to steady himself.
"All right, then," he said. Fett inclined his head.
"All right," he said. "How are you doing?"
Din glared at him, their brief argument about Fett's careful handling still fresh. Fett held up his hands.
"Just checking," he said, tone lightening up.
"You're a Mandalorian. You'd probably tell me you were fine, even if you had a leg in a Rathtar's mouth."
Probably, Din admitted.
He mirrored Fett, rubbing the back of his own neck. His hair tickled his fingertips.
"But you're fine now."
Din nodded.
"Good," said Fett, pleased. "So I didn't scare you off?"
"No," Din said, a smile tugging at the corners of his mouth. He couldn't help it.
"I didn't convince you that I was Hutun, did I?"
"No," said Fett, very seriously. He offered Din his helmet back. Fett's face was honest, true.
"He's an Allur," Din thought.
He took his helmet back carefully, studying the sharp silver face. His own face was mirrored back in the visor. Eyes dark, hair rumpled, mouth set. Din looked back up at Fett, who was watching him keenly.
"So," Din said, before the silence between them could grow strained, too heavy to lift or to move past.
He aimed for a light tone and probably still sounded nervous, but Fett let it go by without comment. He seemed to understand that Din had reached a limit, an edge. Any more talking would either shut Din down entirely or tip him over into that strange floating space he'd found in Fett's rooms, and there was still work to be done for the day.
"Anything else you wanted to talk about?"
Fett laughed.
"We can always talk more about having your spanner wrenched," he suggested. "Your dragon tamed? Your..."
This time, when Din pitched his helmet at Fett, he didn't miss.